You're listening to the soon-to-be-named network, the Lamborghini of podcast networks.
Are you ready to listen to Final Wrestling Place? Kick it!
So you're thinking to yourself, it didn't get much worse than last week, right?
It ain't much better in here, kid.
It is not. It's not. So we're just going to jump right into the beginning of it, because welcome to Final Wrestling Place. I'm Tim.
It's still Marcus.
And follow up from last week. So we'll give a over under conversation already. So I've already gotten the estimate from the other insurance company for what my work's going to cost. And as I'm getting the pictures taken of my car from the estimator, they go, "Hey, got all the pictures. Looks like everything's fine. Just wanted to give you a heads up, though. It looks like you do have a nail in the front left side tire." Cool.
Great.
So just add that on.
That's a $140 bill right there.
Send it, baby. Just keep sending these bills, baby. I love it. I love paying this bull. Yes, I finally got my debit card back, but I didn't get it until today because we went on a trip to Northern Virginia for a wedding that I was officiating.
And that's right. How'd
that go? It was great, but I'll tell you a story about that. But the mail, it was supposed to come on Friday. It didn't get there till after we had to leave because check-in was at 3. The rehearsal dinner was at 5. And you can never tell with like Northern Virginia, D.C., Maryland traffic.
Oh, yeah.
2 hours could turn into 4 hours real quick. Mm-hmm. Real quick, Jack. Real. So luckily we made it on time. Everything was great. Stayed at a nice hotel. Everything was wonderful. But then I wake up the morning of the service. And
so yesterday.
Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday. And I wake up and I feel like I have this giant loogie that I have to hawk. And I do. But then I feel what it is in my on my tongue. Dog, I went to sleep and my uvula turned into the Grinch.
What the H?
And my uvula went to like 2 to 3 times the normal size. Literally 8 hours before I have to talk and like be really presentable. So I felt like doo-doo. Come to find out, that's called uvulitis.
Okay.
It's either caused by like irritation or allergy, but apparently it is very common with people who use CPAP machines.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, dog. So I'm dying. Just everything's trying to kill me. Literally, my entire last 2 weeks have just been... Like, I haven't taken a hard L yet, but boy, I'm taking a bunch of baby L's.
How is the CPAP Jones going?
CPAP Jones is jonesing, man. I'm really learning how to sleep. I hate it. It's not natural, but so what? Like, you gotta wear it. I had the mask fall apart in my sleep one night. Like the
did you
like literally the piece that the hose connects to that like goes onto the mask. The actual mask piece, or not the mask piece, but the nasal. I don't have the cannulas, the ones that go in the nostril. I have like an over the entire nose enclosure, and that snaps onto a Vader like mask. So in the middle of the night, that nose piece detached itself from the Vader gimmick. It was great. I loved every second of it.
Did it wake you up in a panic?
Yes, because I was like, where did I lose my face mask?
Okay.
And so like I just was like, well, I'm not gonna wake myself up in the middle of the night to find this nose piece. We're just gonna hope to God it's still here and that the bed monster didn't eat it. But yeah. Life's good though. Can't complain, even if I wanted to. But now I had to relearn my card number, and I had to update all of my billing information for like literally everything.
Yeah, that's always the poopy part about like getting a new card. It's like the main thing holding me back from like opening up a different bank account. It's like I just don't want to go through the process again.
It's not that bad.
There's always one bill that gets forgotten about with like the automatic withdrawal gimmick.
See, that's the plus side with me is I don't automatically withdraw anything.
Yeah.
I'm one of those. I am to my bills as Joe Sposto is to his podcasts. I don't trust auto pay for anything. I want 15 logins. I know when the bills are supposed to be paid. I'm a log in and I'm a pay it when it's supposed to be paid. I don't care if I'm saving $3. I'm saving the peace of mind to know that I click the button and that button says paid and it's paid.
He said 15 logins and he still got your card hacked.
Yeah. I don't even know why. Like, I haven't been on pro wrestling tees. Haven't done none of that. Is what it is, man. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Well, you're whooping up on me in fantasy football. The quarterfinal bracket of the soon-to-be-named network fantasy football league.
I don't like
my bench, man. But my bench, let me tell you. If I would have put my bench in, whoo, world of hurt. Yeah, man, congrats to you.
We don't know that.
I'm still somehow like in it.
Yes.
I don't like my chances at all.
Oh, part of me hopes you beat me.
I don't think I'm coming back from this one. This is, I had Pittman who was having a monster game. He got knocked out. I had Chase who was having an all right game, get knocked out of the game. I foolishly started Garrett Wilson last minute. I paid the price for that. I thought Nick Folk was going to be in a field goal off. I was wrong about that.
Yeah.
Man, I got Addison on my bench, 34 points right there. I got Chris Godwin on my bench. That's 30 points right there. I got Mozart on my bench. That's 18.45 points. I had McKinnon on my bench. That's another 18 points. So, a lot of pain and suffering, but I did it to myself. I just outthought myself. And, I didn't have my head in the game. I was thinking too big. I tried playing stars over the guys who I knew was going to get the job done. And I'm paying the price for it. So, a congratulations are in order to you.
And man.
I haven't even seen who's winning the other games.
So the other games, it looks like it's going to be Todd. It's going to be Todd facing Vansky, and it's going to be me and Two Legs. And you know, or it's going to be the winner of us versus Two Legs, is what I'll say. Because you still have Jalen Hurts to play.
I do, but unless he's going to have a god game, I'm out. And by God game, I need him to. I need 50 points.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You're only down right now. You're down 19 points. Zay Flowers is putting up an over right now. I have Devontae Smith and I have the Philly defense.
Yeah, I think Philly defense is going to eat. You know, Hurts is probably going to throw it to Smith. So that's going to hurt me. So yeah, man, I just don't think it's in the cards for me. Bad fantasy year for me this year.
But Hurts can run the ball.
He can, but I got to reassess. This wasn't my year. This was a disappointing effort in all of my leagues.
Have you not have you not made the playoffs in many of your leagues?
I've made the playoffs in one other league. I was first person out in like pretty much all my other leagues except for Big Jim's league. So yeah, I'm just disgusted with myself, man. I wasn't too good last year either. So I got some soul searching to do. Got to reevaluate the process. Got to update the file on some players and come back stronger next year.
Yeah, do not draft. It took me a minute to get on the do not draft. I'm very surprised at myself that I actually stayed on the... You know what makes me mad, though? Is I finally added David Njoku to my do not draft list. And then Njoku decides he wants to start playing. Makes you feel good.
Yeah, I got to update the file. Like, I usually stay away from Lions players. They've been pretty good this year.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be good next year, though.
Yeah, I think that offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, is going to be...
gone.
He's going to get a head coaching job somewhere, so he's going to be gone.
Yeah, for sure. But this is not a fantasy football podcast, even though we'd love for it to be. It is Final Wrestling Place. And we are just 1 week removed from the return of the best 2 weeks in Final Wrestling Place history every year, where Marcus and I take the entire year of 2023 and we put it in a good place and a bad place with best year and worst year ever. I'm very excited for that close out for the year. Luckily we're going to have, technically cause our podcast release saw Monday. So, we'll have a Christmas Day offering and a New Year's Day offering for each and every one of yous, as you are enjoying your last little bit of eggnog. Neither of us are eggnog boys, right?
Nope.
Couldn't, not me.
Only thing I want for Christmas.
What's that?
One of them boys right there. You know, Coca-Cola. This is caffeine free though, because it is a little late. Got to be responsible.
What? Why are you doing Coke without a straw right now? Before we get into everything, do you have any idea what audio clip Joe's got of you?
I have no idea.
I think he gave it away.
If he gave it away, I didn't pick it up.
So we were talking about chicken and rice because AJ Styles is the latest. Uncle Allen. My God.
We're back, baby. We're back.
That earth is flat, but that plate is full.
He came back looking like a Remco figure.
Oh my God. He looked like a big rubber guy. that thing. My man is eating all the chicken and rice, but Joe posted emojis, and he did a syringe, a chicken, a rice, and a broccoli. So I think his audio clip for you is when last week you were talking about broccoli. It's got to be something. I think it has to be something broccoli related. Joe can't help himself sometimes.
Well, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
I will too. I love hearing your clips all the time.
I'm glad our brand has become pro steroid usage.
No, we are pro chicken and rice, Marcus. We are pro the soon to be named network is pro steroid use, but we are firm chicken and rice believers here. But Marcus, you came to the table this week with a fantastic list for us to break down. And it's in the shadows of kind of like what's been a bubbling, I wouldn't say it's a hot ticket item. It's a warm ticket conversation that's been happening in the world of professional wrestling over the last month. And that is the way of the TNA signing.
That's right, pal. Got to be topical, baby. And that's what we are, if nothing else. So
that's exactly what we are and nothing else. We're not a wrestling podcast. We're a list podcast veiled in a wrestling podcast.
We took this from the Sportster, credit to Michael Weyer, unless the W is pronounced like a V, and it's Michael Weyer. Either way, this was published back in October of 2020. But it is titled The 10 Most Impactful Signings in
TNA Wrestling
History. And I'm going to run down their list real quick. And Mr. Tim, I will volley to you kind of as we go live. Yeah, man, shoes on the other foot now. Do you like it as we go along? You want to keep it? You want to throw it away? You want to throw it on the bed?
Throw it keep on the it. Bed.
All right. So their number 10 was Bob Lashley.
I like that. I like it. I don't like it on the list where it's at. But Lashley will come back in our final wrestling place top 10.
Number 9, Austin Aries.
Absolutely, positively not. This guy is never on a list ever. I don't care what he means to Impact. I don't care that he's the option C. He's option C for me is cannot stand the man. Austin Aries is off the list.
Number 8. This might be worth discussion. Team 3D. Of course, we're talking about Brother Devon and Brother Ray Deadly.
They stay on the list for me.
Okay.
Especially for however you feel about Brother Ray Deadly, he's kind of important in TNA history.
Self-important, perhaps, but important. Yeah,
he is pivotal, especially in the dark times of Impact. And I know you're asking yourself, when are the dark times? And that could literally be any time between 2002 and today. Yeah, you know, Aces and Eights, we're big Aces and Eights fans.
Sure are.
Yeah, buddy. Brooke Teeny fans.
Brooke Teeny.
So we got it Brookster. All
right, so let me jot down who you said it would go along. You said Bob Lash was a potential.
Yep.
And you also said Austin Aries, no way, no how. You said right. Team 3D yep. is worth a revisit. Yes. Number 7. I think this is shockingly low on the list, but I'll let you talk more about that. Number 7 on this list is Christian Cage.
Man, Christian, I don't want to give too much away for Christian. I'll say this. He is on the list. Mm-hmm. He is mm-hmm. firmly on the list.
Without question. Number 6, Gail Kim.
Also on the list.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
Number 5, here we go. Samoa Joe.
Again, another guy on the list. I fully love I love the fact that he's on this list. I don't know if he belongs in that middle pack like a lot of people are saying. Mm. But for sure I think that signing is very impactful, being able to pull him away from Ring of Honor and do the thing. So
number 4, another ROH alum, Jeff Harvey.
Again, another person who probably belongs on the list. Again, the shift around is some list shifting for sure. I think that he does belong on a top 10 for impactful signings.
Getting down to the nitty gritty here. Number three, talking about the man, the franchise, the icon, Sting.
You mean notable meme wrestler Sting? Yeah, man. Sting goes on this list too. No questions asked about that one. Sting. I will talk about him more as our list becomes more apparent. But for sure, they are absolutely on this list. He is on this list as being a top 10 impactful signing.
All right, final two here. Number two, Mr. Brooktini himself, Bad Terry, Hulk Hogan.
I want him off the list. Or if he's on the list, he is low. Mainly because he did more harm than good, I think. And part of that may also be related to Eric Bischoff as well. But I definitely can see a world in which Bad Terry never goes to Impact and things are just fine.
Better, but perhaps.
Yeah, I think what it boils down to is him trying to, or him and Eric Bischoff overinflating how much Impact can take a bite out of something and take a bite out of the WWE. And it's not for them. They've really settled in the last like 5 years to be where they are now. So I will take that more than anything.
Gotta take this thing to a whole nother level.
Whole nother level, dude. Brother.
All right. And number one on this list, well, that's not his name. The name they call him here is Kurt Angle.
I don't know who that is. What other names has he gone by?
I mean, I only know him in TNA as Perk Angle.
Yes, 100% Perk Angle. Yeah, he absolutely belongs on this list. I'm hard pressed to say there's anybody else who may have done more for Impact than Kurt Angle over time. But again, I don't, he belongs in that top list, like the top half for sure.
Top five, no doubt about it.
Top five, maybe like more higher than five.
Top three.
Could be top three, could be more, but okay. We'll get there as the road crosses for sure. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Wait, he goes away. Doop. 2, 4, 6, 8. I've got 11 names right now.
All right.
For Impact list.
And I have 1, 2, 3. I have 3 people in my top 10 who are not mentioned in this article.
I have 3 as well. Technically 4.
I have an honorable mention as well.
Okay, fair enough. So let's kind of go in that order then. What do you have as an honorable mention?
All right, my honorable mentions are Awesome Kong.
Okay, yep.
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Big Bob Lashley.
He's on your honorable mentions list?
Honorable mentions, yeah. And Victoria, better known as Tara in TNA wrestling.
That makes sense for me. I would say my honorable mention is one that I haven't been able to, it hasn't really come to fruition yet. It's more of betting on futures. But I really love their most recent signing of Kushida.
Okay.
I think that is going to be an impactful signing for them. You're talking about a guy who can go against almost anybody in that entire company. And he brings international cachet. Kushida's got it in spades. He can work X Division. They love pushing guys up. And especially if you know, like, going back to a previous Tim Taylor question of the week, him going back to New Japan isn't going to do anything. He's just going to be equated to one of those old guys who just doesn't really do anything, even though he should be competing for the junior heavyweight championship or more. I think it's better served that he's here in the States and he gets his opportunity to run with the ball in Impact. But that's that's my biggest honorable mention moving forward. Who do you have at number 10?
My number 10 is not a wrestler per se in Impact, but it is definitely a personality and it is a commentator as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about Taz.
See, Taz to me is higher on the list.
Okay. I definitely took number 10 as like, I wanted somebody who's probably deserving of being higher, but like, this is where you got it clear to get into the club. You got to be better than Taz. I wanted to set the bar high.
See, and I set the bar high, but the reason why they're 10 on the list is because their tenure is not very high, but they definitely brought buzz to Impact pretty quickly among being signed. And I am talking about our personal favorites of Cassie Lee and Jesse McKay.
Oh,
the Inspiration. Okay. I got them at 10. They are a 10. They're 10 on the list, 10 in my heart.
10 in life.
10 in life. Can't wait for Jesse McKay to have her baby. Like, how is she still stunning at like 37, 38 weeks?
Nonstop stunning.
Nonstop stunner. And so I'm very excited. I'm glad they're on the list. For me, at least. Not necessarily speaking for you. But the Iconics could make... Or not the... Excuse me. Not the Iconics. The Inspiration could make your list. But I don't know if they're above Taz. Like, Taz is a very high bar, brother.
It is.
That's a high bar.
High bar Jones over here.
Biggest high bar Jones, high jump Jones over here. Just reaching.
No.
For me, number 9, I am going to put Bob Lashley at 9.
Okay.
Especially for the fact that he quietly kind of led Impact during a stretch in time where he was also doing like the Bellator fight stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get the Bobby Lashley we have right now without that Impact run of Lashley.
Correct. Yeah.
If you remember what Lashley was leaving the WWE in 2007, which I don't think a lot of you know, because a lot of you probably weren't watching then, you know, Lashley was starting to get it right as he was leaving because he wanted to go do other things like Brock. And then he shows up at Impact and he figures stuff out. And now I can't imagine a WWE without Bobby Lashley. While he hasn't necessarily been utilized as probably as good as he should, he is a ready to go microwave when ready superstar. Mm-hmm. Just hit 30 seconds. He's hot, ready to go.
Yeah, he's reached that point with the WWE audience where he's like eternally over now.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So, and instantly believable no matter where you put him. So, right. Yeah, man. I'll definitely entertain Bob Lash making the combined list. My number 9 is Rob Van Dam.
I see. I didn't even have RVD on my list.
Okay.
It is tough for me to put really anybody who gets signed during the Hogan administration as being like a meaningful hire. because it felt like everybody they were hiring at that time was either a Hogan crony or like a grasp for relevance.
Hold on a second. We've never talked about this. Does this make RVD a Hogan crony?
100%.
No, not Rob.
He is adjacent.
Oh, man.
He's Hogan crony adjacent.
Hold on. We need let your voice be heard. Chime in on this, please.
Too many people
at the soon-to-be-named network Discord.
Look.
TNM Shows channel. Oh. Is Rob Van Dam Hogan crony? Hogan crony adjacent? Or just taking that bag, brother?
He is Hogan's bagman's best friend.
But do you think Hogan hired him to have a weed guy?
No, he's got Jimmy.
What's was the Jimmy point? Hart, was he there?
Jimmy Hart is always in Hogan's pocket.
He's always there.
He's like Jiminy Cricket. Hmm. Mouth of the South, Jiminy Hart. He's there. Just walking around with Pinocchio, be telling lies, brother. Hand me my weed bag, man. Allegedly.
I'm having a mini crisis over this. I've never thought of Rob Van Dam as a possible Hogan crony or crony adjacent.
Crony adjacent, man.
Wow. All right. Man, yeah. Okay. My number eight, Mr. Tim. I have Jeff Harvey.
That's a good place for Jeff Harvey. I've also got him at eight.
All right. You got the running list?
I do. I have the running list.
Okay, great. All right. Who do you got at number eight?
I have Jeff as well.
You're good, Harvey. Okay, great.
Yep, I got Jeff Hardy as well. On again, off again, meaningful for Impact. When he's there and he's good, he's like, how can I say this? He has the possibilities of being a needle moving signing, but he never moved the needle. Like, it always felt like a big deal whenever Jeff Hardy showed up.
Yeah,
but I feel like either Jeff Hardy got too cute and did something to mess himself up, or creative got too cute and did something to Jeff and messed him up. Willow the Wisp.
We can agree that the Antichrist of pro wrestling is pretty dope, though, right?
That's really cool, except he was a Hogan crony. Jeff Hardy is aligned with Immortal.
Soon to be named network Discord TNM Shows channel. Is Jeff Hardy Hogan Crody adjacent, or also just getting that bag, brother?
Brother, he's in Hogan stable. This isn't just like Terry calling up RVD and be like, hey, dude, you want to come do wrestle stuff and smoke weed? And Rob's like, yeah, man, let me come through. No, Jeff was handpicked by Hogan to be the lead dude in Immortal. He had the Immortal Championship.
That's right.
That doesn't tell me you're a Hogan crony through and through. He is definitely, to give an analogy, every other Hogan crony is in their own class. Think of them like AC Slater, Zach Morris, all them. This Impact version of Hogan cronies is the new class. They count, but not really. They count.
The new Nexus.
I think the new Nexus counts more as being Nexus members than like new Hogan cronies count as being Hogan cronies.
Oh boy.
Because man, like Hogan cronies meant something in the 90s.
Being a Hogan crony.
Being a Hogan crony meant you had a job something. Everywhere.
Used to stand for something.
You had the demandments, brother. Do you know how hard it is? Like, does Terry's good for at least 12 people to show up at whatever promotion he goes to? And they're all like meaningful people.
We gotta revisit these like Hogan cronies, like 2K version. It's like Val Venus is a Hogan crony.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Garrett Bischoff is a Hogan crony.
Yeah.
Wes definitely. Briscoe is a Hogan crony. Abyss is a Hogan crony.
Yeah.
Ken Anderson is a Hogan crony. Yeah. They're all there. Just look at anybody in Immortal. Anybody in Immortal. Hogan crony, baby.
All right. Who do you got number seven?
Number seven is where I've got Team 3D.
Okay. All right.
And this is mainly off the back of Bully Ray. Bully, the most interesting Bubba has been ever as a singles guy is as Bully Ray in Impact.
This is the part I wish we had video, because I wish people could see the pain that this is putting you through.
Like, I just hate it. Like, sometimes he's got really great ideas on Busted Open Radio, and other times I just want him to stop talking forever. But you cannot, I don't think you can write the full Impact history book without at least dedicating like 2.5 pages to Bully Ray. You can't.
Hogan crony as well.
Yes. Oh, in the family, Hogan crony.
Oh man, we're
crony turned to a
shoot.
Crony out. Crony
podcast.
Anytime we can find a way to dunk on Terry, we're gonna do it, right?
Yeah, my number seven, not a Hogan crony, Mickie James.
Mickie James is on my list. I think she's coming up real soon.
Oh, Hog Hog Country. Yeah, I like hardcore country.
Yeah, like, I think Mickie James for me is one more up or two more up for me.
Okay, I'm not going to fight you on that. I like that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll give my number six while you're typing away, and this is where I had Gail Kim.
I can believe that. Yep. I think just for Gail Kim is definitely meaningful to Impact, but I don't think she's, this is one of those weird things, right? I don't believe she's a meaningful signing, because her signing alone wasn't like big out of the water thing.
I see what you're saying.
But she's definitely the identity of the Knockouts division at the very beginning. Right?
Yeah. She wasn't like a big coup.
She was not a coup like a lot of other people on these lists are. Yeah. And that's where I'm really kind of putting a lot of the stock of the signing. So like, that's why I replace like a Gail Kim with a Mickie James, right?
Yeah.
Which brings me to my number six. My number six is Taz.
All right.
Taz is a big coup. Instant credibility at the commentary desk, in spite of the fact that I love one of my spiritual fathers, Don West. As much as I love Don West on commentary, the mood definitely changed, pun intended, with Taz and Tanay. It was good to have another wrestling person in on commentary, especially him getting like unceremoniously canned from WWE at the time.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up. There was like, I think there's still a decent level of mystery about like how Taz ended up not resigning. When did that? Was it a release? Was it a mutual parting the ways? I don't think I've seen anything like definite about what happened there.
Yeah, let me look to see what the truest source of news was.
But like, I think the skinny of it, dude, is like Taz. I felt like if he wanted to stay, he would have stayed. Seems like Taz maybe didn't want to stay. Didn't want to put up with whatever it was. And left before WrestleMania 25, which was a huge show.
Yep,
and so, showed up at TNA.
Yep, his contract expired before WrestleMania. They announced his signing on April 3rd. And Taz in an interview, where do we credit this from? Wrestling Inc. Oh, sorry. On an episode of AEW Unrestricted in 2020, Taz talked to Aubrey Edwards and Tony Schiavone about, the WWE. And he stated that he left on his own terms. His contract was up with the week going into WrestleMania, and he wasn't there. That was it. He was done on the Dallas TV before that. They offered him a new deal, but he needed to get out of there. He saw Vince in Dallas officially. He officially gave his word, shook his hand, and he said, "I was leaving Dallas." Apparently, both him and Vince were crying. Vince said, "I'm going to miss you." Steph was very surprised that he was leaving. And he said that he needed to do it. He needed a break. Right. Yeah.
Had to hop off the wheel.
Yeah. Some people have to, and there's a reason why, there's a reason why a lot of people on this list are on this list, right? It's people who've jumped off the wheel, right?
Also crazy that he never went back.
Right. And I think he would have went back if AEW wasn't a thing.
Yeah, but like he never went back for, it seemed like he never entertained going back. Like not for a Legends thing, not for we're in Brooklyn, nothing. Like Taz never popped back up.
I think this year would have been the year he would have, because they're going to Philly for WrestleMania. They need Hall of Famers, and Taz is like the perfect second name to go into the Hall in Philly.
Like the way that Joe broke down how the Hall of Fame goes, he is the perfect recent-ish guy who's kind of old, who isn't sad to look at.
Right. And like, there's a lot of people who still remember him as a wrestler, and there's a lot of people who only know him as a commentator. And he can fill multiple roles in his Hall of Fame. Because some would say he's got a Hall of Fame wrestling career, but he absolutely has a Hall of Fame broadcaster career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he is, especially like if you only knew him as ECW Taz, him being on commentary is like, who is this guy? Like, the wrestler was Taz, and this is the guy that, like, Joey Styles referred to as Peter Sinertia, right? Like, this is not Taz. Like, there's no...
This is the fun uncle.
This is fun uncle Taz. Like, no black towel, no choking people out, no katahachime, nothing.
Talking about French ticklers, letting the pigeons loose.
That's right. Like, rocket busters. And, whoop, here comes the pain. Man, Taz is so good.
Number five.
My number five is Mickie James.
Okay.
Very nice. That's my number five.
My number five, and it's my last person who is not on the list that we're covering. The Boss, Raven.
Raven's a good one.
Hugely influential to the early success of TNA. He really popped their first buy rate for the weekly pay-per-views. That Jarrett feud is really good. It's like the first all-time material stuff that TNA does.
Mm-hmm.
It might be the only all-timer stuff that happens in the Asylum. So I think that counts for something, and I feel like on my list at least counts for five.
Yeah, it's tough because at that point in Raven's career, he's coming off of that run in the Fed, right? He's a part of that hardcore group.
Yeah, who hired Raven.
Yeah, who the F hired this guy? And but it was fun seeing Raven in TNA. And again, he's another person you'd very much like Gail Kim. You can't necessarily question what he meant to Impact in the multiple times he showed up. But he's definitely a TNA Impact guy. Through and through. Our top four, I think, are going to be relatively the same.
Yeah.
And I would dare say it's the same order.
All right. Let's see.
Let's see. So my number four is Samoa Joe.
That's my number four.
Number four, Joe brought modern relevancy to Impact. Boy, he's just so different.
Yeah.
Even like today, he's so different.
and so good. And I know you haven't necessarily been you unless you're going to lie to the people. You've not always been a big Samoa Joe fan.
He was never my guy. Right. He's just not my guy. I recognize the game. He is insanely good, and I really like his stuff now. But yeah, man, cannot deny the impact made by the signing of Samoa Joe.
For sure.
At number three.
Yes.
Kirk Angle.
I got Sting.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I have Sting. Do you have Sting at two?
I do not have Sting at two.
You are drunk. You're drunk. How do you not have Christian Cage at one?
Christian Cage is my number two.
How?
Because to me, unfortunately, there is no competing with what puts Sting over the edge is that Sting is the guy that WWE could never get.
Mm-hmm.
TNA got him year after year after year. One-year contracts, everything. He is the guy. He's big with getting Spike TV on board, keeping Spike TV in bed for as long as he did. Sting is truly, as aging as he was, whatever, he was the franchise of TNA. He was integral to what they were doing. Christian Cage for me at number two. He is at number two because he is the first guy to say, I'm not staying in WWE. I am leaving, and I'm leaving to go to TNA to go prove what I can do. And what he did was like all-time legendary stuff.
To me, that's why Christian is one. And to be completely honest, so Sting's three for me, Kurt is two, and Christian is one. I understand Sting being high. Here's where I'm putting the emphasis on like the impact part. While Sting was the person who WWE couldn't get, right? And Impact was the place that landed him. Aside from like I don't necessarily, and this may be just me not recalling very many things, I don't see where Sting's big value is in Impact for his signing, right? Christian is the first. He was the big coup, instant classic, and he's the guy who holds the door open. And he's like, hey, this is a place. And without Christian, you don't get Angle, Kevin Nash back the second time, Booker T. You don't get like all of those mid-major guys shortly thereafter, right? And like you could easily say, like, you could very easily break this down into like an early book of the Bible where like Christian Cage begat Kurt Angle begat all these other people who then begat like Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan, who begat all of these new age Hogan cronies, right? But for me, Christian's the first. Christian's the big coup. Kurt is a quick number two because of the fact that literally he was told to leave WWE to get better. He is like, okay, I will. They give him his outright release. And within days, he's showing up at Impact. Dog, that's historic stuff. Like, that's God level stuff. Like, and I love Real Estate Steve. I love Sting with my whole heart. For me, there's no way Sting's number one on this list for me. He's definitely top three. Because signing a legend like Sting is no short task, right? But that's my list. Our lists can be very different sometimes. To go over all the right, lists. Well-
Yeah, let's hammer out our combined list real quick.
Okay. So if we do our combined lists, Rob Van Dam is not on my list.
Okay.
Gail Kim is not on my list, and Raven is not on my list.
Okay.
For you, the Inspiration are not on your list.
That's right.
Bob Lashley is not on your list, and Team 3D are not on your list.
All right. I like Lashley.
Okay.
At 10.
Okay.
You also made a great case for Team 3D, so they need to make the list.
I'm cool with moving Team 3D down to 9.
Okay.
That would remove Rob Van Dam.
That's fine. To me, Lashley is kind of like the better version of Rob Van Dam.
Yeah. And so both of us had Jeff Hardy at 8.
Okay.
I had Mickey James at 5. You had Mickey James at 7. So that splits the difference and puts them at 6.
Yeah.
Which would, for me, that would put Taz at 7.
Okay.
And then we have top 5 of Raven, Joe, Angle, Cage, Sting.
Joe, Cage, Sting, Raven. Yeah.
So Raven would go 5. Joe would be 4. I had Christian 1. You had Christian 2.
So that puts Christian at 1.
You had Angle at 3. I had Angle at 2. And you had Sting at 1. And I had Sting at 3. So the order goes Sting, Angle, Cage. Or no, Angle, Sting, Cage.
Yes. Yeah. 3, 2, 1.
Kurt Angle, Sting, and Christian Cage.
There it is.
See how easy it is to just pay respect to Christian Cage on a podcast on the Soon to Be Named Network? It's not that hard. Our combined top 10 most impactful signings in TNA history. Number 10, Bobby Lashley. Number 9, Team 3D. Number 8, Jeff Hardy. Number 7 is Taz. 6 is Mickey James. 5 is Raven. Number 4 is Samoa Joe. Number 3 is Kurt Angle. Number 2 is Sting. And Christian Cage is number 1. Let us know, Ed, where we went wrong at TNM Shows on the soon-to-be-named network Discord or TNM Shows on Twitter, which, by the way, I don't forget. Oh, I was listening to Wings on Wings, and Doug officially named us Tim and Marcus Shows.
Oh, nice.
He's like, Tim and Marcus Shows. I'm like, yes, that's what the TNM stands for. It's not trademark shows. That's us. TNM Shows on Twitter, on the Soon to Be Named Network Discord as well. We love to hear from you about your, even if you don't have a top 10, if you feel like we've missed an important signing, an impactful signing, let us know. We would love to discuss things with you, baby, about that. What has got your attention out of the corner of your eye, sir?
I got eyes on the game. Jacksonville just broke loose. Touchdown. Is that Agnew, though? Who just scored? Somebody scored. It's not who I need to score, so it doesn't matter. But that's all.
Fair enough. Zay Flowers is having a bad day. The lead is now down to 22, or up to 22.
Okay.
For us, for the dastardly Adam. Can you believe what Adam said? He's like, he couldn't have wrote it any better. You know, for a guy who he discounted multiple times as being a guy who took a kicker in a verity of rounds, you know, I'm doing all right. We're figuring it out. We're piecing it together. Did anything rock for you this week?
Oh, man. Chicken and rice, obviously.
Chicken and rice is obviously the logical next step.
What rocked for me, I'm trying to make sure it was this week I watched, but who'd Andrade wrestle? I really like that match.
Brian Danielson or Brody King?
Brody. Was that already was that last week, though?
He beat up Danielson, and then he got beat up by Brody King.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so that was this week. Yeah. I really like that match.
Okay.
Really like that. I'm really into the Brody King. Like, it's insane. I know he's a big guy. Without right. question, he he's is a big guy. He's a big dude. Like, does he cross that bar of, like, big man workers? Like, maybe on, like, a modern scale. But he is easily, like, the best big man that AEW has presented. Like, they have not messed him up yet. And they've kind of struggled with men of size. Even somebody like the Wardlow, who's just, you know, good height and excellent shape. They struggled with that. So, I just really like that they're letting Brody King go out there and cook. Dude's awesome. Love the bark. Like everything about him. Great look, great presence, great presentation. And, I'm all for Andrade having good matches, man. So yeah, man, that's what rocked for me.
Yeah.
What rocked for you?
I'm going to kind of go in a different direction, and I'm going to go with what didn't rock this week.
Oh, what did not rock?
The holy trinity of injury for Charlotte Flair.
So how much of that is out?
From what I just heard from PW Insider, which is the only source of news I follow, it is the three. ACL, MCL, and meniscus.
Okay.
Per Mike Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a year. That's gonna be some time.
She could be back by SummerSlam.
Jesus. She is a freak.
Yeah.
And she's in excellent shape. What are you saying?
Some more things I want to say off air. But yeah, I think she's definitely got the makeup.
The genetic predisposition. Yeah.
Yeah. So that sucks. Big injury.
But I guess in a turn of that, though, what does rock is the repositioning. Damage Control now having their sights on wanting to hold every women's title in the WWE.
That's cool.
Pretty sweet.
I like that.
And like Bayley pretty much said on SmackDown on no certain terms, she's coming for Rhea Ripley.
That's awesome.
That is going to be so greasy when when it comes down to it. If we get Pam and Rhea at Mania, dog, that Discord's going to need triple moderation.
It would be awesome if Damage Control all worked together in the Rumble and, like, Pam ended up winning.
I think Pam would have to win, right? Because they've already combined Asuka and Kairi. They're recombined. Okay. Their Kabuki Mamas. They're doing the Kabuki Mamas thing.
Okay.
Okay.
And Io's already got the
Io's belt. Already got the chip, right?
Gotcha.
Which means Dakota, I think Coda's going to go to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And win that jank when she's healthy.
Yeah.
And then that just leaves, Bayley. She's the one.
How awesome if everybody gets titles except for Bayley and then they kick her out of the group.
That's my hope. That's my hope. Man,
yeah, that's but good
now
stuff.
Now it sucks for me because like in my dream journal, it was the four members of Damage Control without Bayley versus the horsewomen at Mania.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like Bayley gets kicked out. She doesn't have anybody to stand beside her. Becky and Charlotte surround her. They need a fourth. Bayley knows somebody.
Sure the pull from NXT, the call up two women who look pretty much exactly the same. Athletic build and blonde hair, and they both like being rich. And when's Izzy gonna be ready?
Izzy coming. She coming. And Ava Rain's still on the roster, baby. Takeover 2030, baby.
Let's go.
Here it comes. By that time, I think Ava will have the dumb look off of her face. Yeah, man, I can't wait.
I'm very excited for the possibility of Miss Pam versus Rhea Ripley. That would actually be like a super awesome match. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think they've ever faced.
I really don't think so.
I don't think they have. Not in a program.
They're that triple threat. Yeah. Like they've been in the ring, but not in a program. They haven't done one. So.
Which triple threat?
That'd be great. Survivor Series 2019.
With Shayna.
Mm-hmm.
Shayna Baszler and her.
Yes.
I didn't think it was.
Oh, no. I think Becky's in that match. I think it's Becky, Bailey, and Shayna.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rhea's in the Survivor Series, 5-on-5-on-5.
Yeah. Yeah, she's team captain with Bianca, Candice, Io, and Tony.
Yeah. Well, I really hope they do Miss Pam versus Rhea at WrestleMania. I felt like they were going to get to Bianca versus Rhea, and I just felt like it was a little too soon.
Especially since I couldn't tell you anything about what Bianca's doing other than she was in War Games, and that's it. Like, how many weeks removed are we from War Games already? Two?
Longer than that. Four.
Is it 4 weeks?
Think so.
Punk hasn't been back for 4 weeks.
Pull up the old calendar gimmick here.
Is Punk really been back for 4 weeks?
That was three. That was 4 weeks ago, my man.
Oh my god. Well, I'm happy Phil's been back a calendar month now. But yeah, man. I don't know what Bianca's like. Are they just keeping Bianca quiet for Rumble?
Probably. I think she'll be a really good be the bridesmaid position of the Rumble.
Yeah, because she's in that Roman Reigns position.
Mm-hmm.
If Roman's not winning it, he's in the last two. We're a little early for prognostications on the Rumble. Do you think it's pretty much set in stone on the men's side?
I do feel like Phil from Chicago is going to pick this bad boy up.
I do too.
Yeah. He's going to become everything that he hated. He's going to fulfill the prophecy of becoming the New York Yankees.
I love it.
Yeah. Or I guess, it was the New York Yankees, but yeah, he's going to do the inverse. He's going to become the part-time guy that comes in and just wins everything and gets skyrocketed to the main event. And
leave Elimination Chamber for Roman. Leave the winner. The winner of the Elimination Chamber goes to Roman.
I'd almost rather it not. Like, U.S. title again. Something. I don't know.
So who do you give the... Where do you get Roman's number one contender?
A tournament on SmackDown?
Dog, I'm sick of wrestling tournaments. Everything's a tournament. Ugh.
Battle Royal? I don't know.
It's a tournament or a Battle Royal or a ladder match. It's one of those three things.
Yeah. Pick straws.
I'd rather
the tumbler. The tumbler.
I would rather they bring back the, what was that stupid mixed match challenge? Mm-hmm. I would rather they bring back the mixed match challenge and the winning team gets the SmackDown champions at Mania.
Yeah. I just feel like we're going to get Cody as WWE champ and Mr. Phil from Chicago as other champ.
But WrestleMania 42?
47, 8, 9.
Cool. I just didn't know if you were talking about WrestleMania 40.
I think it's a WrestleMania 40, though.
No!
I'm not saying I want it. It's not what I want.
Well, they kind of gave away a little bit of it. Did you hear on SmackDown that Roman Reigns is officially christened Solo Sikoa as the next tribal chief?
I saw that segment.
It's too soon to be talking about next tribal chiefs. We've already got one. I don't need the next one.
Yeah.
Don't tell me who the next chief is.
After next year's WrestleMania. That's supposed to be the angle to me.
Right.
Like, we get through this calendar year of Roman as champion.
And then like the challenger at 41, it's Roman Solo.
Yeah.
And then Solo stomps him out. Because in my head, Solo is just a continuation of Roman. So if Solo holds a title, you can still count it as Roman's reign. Because it's all in the blood.
Line. It's all in the family.
It's all in the family. Did you buy anything this week?
I did buy a couple things. Bought,
two, three things.
Christmas present for the consortium. Got Ooh. Her. Oh yeah, she's asleep. Got her a new Amazon Kindle.
That's right. You were talking about that.
I got the fancy one. Even though she told me not to get the fancy one, I got it.
The one with the color.
I don't know. I saw the most expensive one they had. I was like, that's the one I want.
Jesus.
So, yeah, got that. And got a. Bought a haircut this week.
Oh yeah,
had to saw my curly lady take care of these curls right here. Buzz me up on the sides.
I got a haircut too.
Looking good. So, that's a pretty penny when you got hair as I do. And that was it for weekly purchases.
Yeah, what did I?
We got gift cards for like family for Christmas.
You didn't
I'm really wanna, bad. Like
you didn't want like, to.
I don't like doing presents. Like I'm not like I don't want any presents. I'm just like for my family. I'm just like I see you guys all the time,
dude. You should have pulled. You should have pulled an ultimate. Your dad.
I'm broke.
No,
didn't know Christmas was coming up.
No, it's like hey, everybody's getting the same thing. You just got a gun and bought Himalayan salt lamps
for everybody
for like 50 people. Go down to like Big Lots or Ollie's or Ocean State Job Lot.
Yeah, I'll take 10.
Find the biggest gimmick item you can get that they have the most of there.
I would definitely give out lava lamps. That would be my
dog. My you gift. Still got a chance. those gift cards are just money. So if you don't give them the gift cards, you've got gift cards now that you could spend on yourself. And now you can go out and just buy a bunch of lava lamps.
Possibly.
But there's no possibly about it. There's nothing unsafe about them. They don't get ridiculously hot. They're perfect. They give off just the right amount of low light. They do their job. They make balls of lava float in this questionable liquid. Has anybody ever seen what's on the inside of a lava lamp? Like actually like unscrewing the top of a lava lamp and like busting that joker out?
No, I'm not that brave.
I'm not either, but I am white enough. That sounds like some white people stuff.
You know what I always thought was like a super white person show?
What?
Mythbusters.
Oh, it is absolutely like that is upper middle class white people.
White people love that show. And I'm like, what?
How effective would flypaper be to catch a person?
Y'all just watch like 250-year-old white dudes do science experiments.
You know what else is a white person show? What was Deadliest Warrior? Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
It was where they just people
computer generate.
It's like, what if the Spartans took on, I don't know, a Navy
Genghis
SEAL?
Genghis Khan.
Right. Like, first of all, you can even spell Genghis Khan. And like, they got all these weapons and these like jello mold people. And they're just stabbing up all these molds of people. That's kind of sick. I did witness a great white person activity in action this week.
Oh, no.
Which is...
A Krakening.
A Krakening. Let me write that down. You know, sometimes you just wait long enough. Oh, the Krakening. Krakening. I watched a white person in a grocery store grab a bag of chips, open the bag of chips, and eat said bag of chips through the store. And dog, it wasn't even one of the big bag of chips. She went into one of like the checkout aisles and grabbed like a nasty bag of those like cheesy Ruffles. And just, so it's double extra crackening because white people love cheese and bad chips.
It's bad enough to have like the salt and crap all over you in public.
Oh my God.
A mess.
I'm but sorry. I'm about to lose all our white people listeners. If you enjoy salt and vinegar chips, get out of my face. Salt and vinegar people, sorry. I love you. Maybe next time you're off the Christmas list this year. Sour cream and onion people, you're next. And then me personally, if you're a cool ranch Dorito guy, sorry. Miss me.
Disgusting.
You are trash people.
My kid, she wanted the blue bag of Doritos.
No, she did not.
I said, absolutely not.
Under absolutely no circumstances. I will disown your child.
I said, nope.
If I ever see her eating a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos, I'm slapping her in the mouth.
I think she just saw the blue. Was like, I want that.
No, you do not want. Blue is not good for you.
Not in this house.
Red. Red.
I did witness, we did get the red bag. I witnessed a white person thing.
Oh, what was your white person thing?
So it was at my super secret science job.
Uh-huh.
And I don't go to the lunch area too much at my job just because it's like, I'm a big guy. And I feel very crowded when I'm in there. And like, I step on people or if I turn around, like I could run somebody over. And, like, do some damage. So I don't like going in there too often. But the lunch was popping, so I was like, I got to go in there and go get it. Went in there, got me some food. Now, I'm super hungry, which partly my fault. So I'm just not in the mood for any shenanigans. And I already had to wait. I'm in line. I'm getting the food. And it's like a self-serve gimmick. And they got my favorite lunch, which is pulled pork barbecue.
Mm.
So you serve yourself and French fries on the side. And, you know, my work has it maybe once every 2 months. So I'm like,
you don't eat very often.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for them. They're in front of me and they're just taking forever making their sandwiches, getting their fries. I let out like an audible, like, and they eventually get it moving. I make my stuff. I go hop in line. The husband is putting his stack of boxes or whatever and got to open it up so the people doing the register can see what you got so they can ring you up correctly. And she's like, oh, I didn't see the drinks, even though there's a big display for the drinks. So she makes the husband go back, grab a drink. So now this process is just being delayed more. Mind you, I'm the next one up in line. He grabs the drinks. On his way back, he like brushes up against my arm. I just think he wasn't paying attention. Now, how do you miss 6'4", 275 pounds, man?
Some would say almost 7 feet tall.
I don't know. But he brushed up against me. I'm on company time. I'm like, I'm gonna let that slide. I'm gonna let it slide. Because mm-hmm. I'm very hungry, and I would very much like to not get fired. I'm
hungry.
So he does his business. I give him the benefit of the doubt. But when it comes time to pay, he skedaddles. He beats it. I'm like, oh, no. This is a white person telltale sign of some foolishness is about to go down. Brother, you know, it's the year 2023.
Yeah.
When that number comes up on that register,
you know exactly what it is.
And beep. Nah, not this lady. This lady proceeds to pull out the card. Then she's like, oh, wait, can you split it up? I want some on the card. The debit card. I want some on the debit card. or credit card, and I want to pay for some right here. And so they're like, I guess. So go through that whole process. And then she wants to give exact change. But then she wants to give the exact change or whatever so that, like, when she gets money back, it's like a full dollar or something, whatever that trick is.
Oh, God, that is some white people stuff.
I hate that. And my food, it's just getting cold in my hands. I'm getting so angry.
Dog, I got a food story, too.
And so finally the foolishness ends and goes on their way. And I go, I pay. And I'm talking to the person at register. And they're exasperated. And I was just like, that was some bullsy. And they were like, yeah.
See, what you should have done is you should have been like, hey, can I split this up on two different transactions using the same card? Can I put $5 on the first transaction with this one card and then to put the rest on the same card in a different transaction? Can we do that? Because wanted to show up as I actually was doing some transactions today. So I have a food story from today. So we just came back from the trip for the wedding today. So we don't have really food in the house. So I had to order dinner out and I got Domino's, but I didn't order pizza. I ordered like some cheesy bread and a sandwich. And of course we have dogs. We have a dog who loves to bark. And I put on the notes, please don't ring the doorbell or knock. We have a dog, loves to bark. We have people who work from home. People may be napping. We don't need that crap. Just like Domino's has the app. They tell me when stuff's delivered. I can go pick it up.
Yeah.
Right. So I order my food and I'm looking at the app and it gets stuck on quality assurance. And I'm thinking it's going to take forever. Like they must be busy tonight. A lot of people ordering pizza. Now, mind you, they do the quality assurance check at like 7:10. By 7:45, my app is still saying quality assurance. And they were like, estimated delivery time, 27 minutes to 33 minutes. So I'm like, you know what? I do have lab work to do tomorrow, so I got to fast. So I need this food by like 8 because I got to be ready for my 8:45 lab appointment. So I just go and look. It's raining today. And my food is just sitting on the porch getting rained on. And the app never updated to delivered. And I was just like, play stupid games, win stupid prizes, Tim. You should have just had them not.
Yeah.
But no, I don't. Would I rather my food get rained on? Or would I rather my consortium be happy that the dog didn't bark because somebody knocked on the door? Gave me the wet food.
The rarity that I use Domino's, they have like the text gimmick.
Yeah.
Like have your driver text you. So that's what I use. And that works without fail.
I'm going to do it next time. Because this is just bull crap. Not great. Not great. Bunch of cracking happening for us to close this out. Do you have anything you need to plug?
February 3rd, Mr. Pig is down at Virginia Championship Wrestling.
Wrestling.
Big title match against EC3, the current NWA World Heavyweight Champion. And that match will be for the 10 pounds of gold. So, yeah, go ahead and make it a point to be there. And, Flying V Fights. January 27th. I believe that's Royal Rumble Saturday. Mr. Pig is also going to be there. So if you are in the BC area,
the Nova area,
Maryland, yeah, make the trip. They always put on a great show.
Yes, they do.
Mr. Pig's going to be there too. So do that as well.
And Flying V should also be on Jerry's Internet Wrestling Emporium at some point.
At some point, yeah. There's usually a
little bit of a delay.
Mm-hmm.
Technology, what are you going to do, right?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? SoonToBeNamedNetwork.com, SoonToBeNamedNetwork.tumblr.com. It's your home for this and so many other podcasts, including but not limited to our wrestling offerings of At Odds with Wrestling at full strength this week with Joe and Adam and We Need Wrestling with DJ and Brett. Check out everything on Twitter at STBN Network as well. Just every podcast is there, including our new favorite podcast, Wings on Wings. So much fun to get everything there. If you want to follow us on social media, you can at TNM Shows on Twitter for both of us combined, at Not the Tool Man for me, at the Wrestling Speakeasy for Marcus. If you know, you know. We'll be back here next week for some best week ever, because it's going to be Christmas and I don't want to talk about bad stuff on Christmas. So good place first, bad place after. But right now, all that's left, Marcus, is to tell the people goodbye.
Bye, boys.